We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. Crowns. To some, they're a symbol of royalty. To others, their meaning is much deeper. Skylight Music Theater's production of Crowns, the musical, is about the African-American tradition of wearing beautiful, ornate hats to church.
It's based on a book of the same name, which features 50 portraits of African-American women wearing their crowns. It includes short stories about the women who wear these hats, who they are, and how their hats are an expression of their shared history.
Stage director Sherry Williams-Pennell joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about the hat queens in her life and in the musical.
Crowns is a musical about a young girl who is originally from Brooklyn, New York, who loses her brother due to a tragic event and really cannot move past the event. She is depressed. She's angry. She's sad. She is going through the various stages of grief, but she really cannot get past the anger part. Her family is very concerned about her, and so they send her to Darlington, South Carolina, to her grandmother, who is a woman who is steeped in the church. She is a prayer warrior and has a community of women who surround her. And belonging to the church, they express their faith through song, through dance, through prayer, and through the wearing of their hats, adorning their heads with the most flamboyant, most beautiful hats. And each hat is connected to a story that may be of laughter, of joy, of pain, bittersweet, but the hat triggers the story. And in their telling of their story, they assist Yolanda in grieving and coming out on the other side whole.
You mentioned the hats, of course, and that's where the title comes from.
The crowns.
Can you tell us what a crown looks like? Can you describe one for us?
A crown can look many different ways. And in fact, in the research that I have done, many of the crowns that are worn by African-American women really do have their roots in the West African and East African countries, where you see the beautiful geles of West Africa, where there are the wonderfully shaped cone-shaped hats, even of South Africa, of the Zulu nation, where you see the beautiful tight kufis that are worn by the holy people in Nigeria, and also the East African-shaped hats, some of which are very low with a wide brim. And so these, it's almost as if the memories of these hats are somewhere in the DNA and come out in the creative designs of those men and women who are of African descent who create these hats. It's like it's been buried deep, and there it comes, much like the music. The rhythm and the sound of the music erupts from, I'm going to say, an imprinted memory.
I mean, the hats are beautiful. You
yes.
know, I looked at the book. Of course, the play is actually based on a book which features 50 portraits of different women wearing these church hats, these
yes,
crowns.
By Michael Cunningham, the photographer, and Craig Marbury, who collected the stories. And together, there was a period in which I don't think you could enter a home that didn't have that beautiful book on the coffee table. And it served as an inspiration for Regina Taylor to first write a play, which was produced at McCarter Theater, and later the musical, produced at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. And the production that we are sharing actually is that Goodman production, that iteration.
So why is it called a crown?
Because it represents the majesty of the woman who wears it. She is dressing for God, putting forth her Sunday best. Looking at Proverbs 31, she is a queen. She is regarded by a queen, by her family, and by the women and the people of her community. These women carry themselves with a level of dignity and respect, and so much so that on a Sunday morning, you don't know who is the teacher, the lawyer, the doctor, and the domestic worker, the child care provider. You don't know, because once she places that crown, that hat on her head, she walks with such a level of self-esteem and pride.
That was actually one of my questions for you. You know, outside the world of the play, who are these, you know, hat divas? Who are they?
Oh, there are so many churches, and I don't just mean the Pentecostal and the Baptist churches, but there are hat divas that exist amongst many faiths. But these are women who own at least 100 hats. They are so organized in the wearing of their hats that oftentimes their hats are organized by season, which means that they are a different material. In the summer, they may be straw, they may be linen. In the fall, they may be felt. In the winter, they are wool. And they have various embellishments, feathers. They could have shells, rhinestones, ribbons, even sometimes adding a brooch to your hat, pearls. So they reflect the personality of the woman, oftentimes the color she wears, she is able to relate to in a special way. I can tell you the story of one hat diva who belongs to my church, Calvary Baptist Church. Janelle Elder Green is a hat diva for whom the second floor of her bungalow, her Milwaukee Craftsman bungalow, is dedicated to hats, shoes, purses, gloves, and her outfits. This is truly the mark of the hat diva, because it's not just the hat, it's the total look from head to toe. And she is dressing her best for the king. She is the hat queen.
One of the themes in this play mm-hmm. is the sort of disconnect between a younger generation represented by the character Yolanda from Brooklyn and an older generation who is carrying down these traditions from previous generations. Can you give us a little insight into the history of these hats in the United States?
The hats, in fact, if you even look at the portrait of women who worked in the field during the time of slavery in the United States, the hats were used as a covering of protection from the sun, but there still even was a pride of adornment and creativity. She found a way to add flowers. Maybe it was a ring of daisies. Maybe it was a feather added to it to bring some beauty, some form of self-expression into her life. Her very challenging life. This also meant, though, that on Sunday, that one day when there could be relieved of field work, that one day when you wore the one dress that you had, maybe that same hat from the field would be adorned. Well, this carried over into freedom when you're able to save money and work toward having that special fashion accessory that made you feel extra special and beautiful and wonderful. And that became the hat that sometimes you'd have to save for months in order to afford. But it was worn only on Sunday or for special occasions such as a wedding or a funeral. And as people were able to do better and save more money, they would treat themselves to these beautiful artistic expressions of fashion adornment.
What about this production and this play really inspires you?
The story itself inspires me because I do work with young people, many of whom have experienced the loss of loved ones and truly don't know what to do with these feelings. Oftentimes in the African-American community, the idea of talking with someone professionally is a taboo. So you have young people who don't know where to turn. Also, our schools no longer have readily available the school psychologists. So who do they talk to? Where do they go? This story intrigued me. I work with a group of young people through the Boys and Girls Club, a project called Can You Hear Us Now? Almost this story. Young people who experienced tragedies. And we use the arts to reach them. But Yolanda is using her art, which is rap. But her family hears her using rap and hip-hop in such a way that is so angry, and it's not allowing her to really release in a way that is helpful to her. So she is sent down south to her family. I know this story. It's just today, a lot of our young people don't have a grandmother, a grandfather, or a great aunt, or someone down south to go to anymore. We are not able to send them any longer. Also, this was a generation where grandmother was maybe 40 or 50 years older. Today, a lot of the grandmothers are a lot younger. They may not have, I'll just say, the wisdom, the number of years to share with that young person. You know, I remember for myself as a young person being sent south, not because of pain or but it was really to connect with my family that I only saw once or maybe twice a year. And it was not uncommon to give family members a break and also to give that young person another form of education, to really have an understanding of nature, to know that there's another world beyond city life, to be able to look up at night and see the stars, to be able to go and pick beans and corn, and the next thing you know, it's on the table, and you helped. Because certainly when you travel south to visit this family member, you have chores. You're a member of the family. You are not a visitor. You are not a guest. You're a family member, and you work. You contribute, and it builds the self-esteem of that young person to participate in the family, to be able to have your attentions not on yourself being selfish, but giving, participating, contributing to the family. This musical reminds us of that tradition. And I'm hoping it will inspire someone to say, yes, that's what we did. We must do this again. We must revive this. Because truly, if we're going to reach our young people and help, I always say, save them from themselves, from their angst, then we must give them another way, another option. And the other thing is the spiritual side of the play. Here is the spiritual journey. In the way this musical is devised, it begins with a service. It's a church service. And during the course of a Sunday, you experience all the elements of a service, including, which is rather unusual, this is the supernatural part of it, a funeral and a wedding. And you hear it told there again through the touch of a hat, inspiring the memory.
Who do you hope this play reaches?
This is a family play. It is very joyous. There's a lot of laughter here because, you know, you think about oppressed people know how to laugh. I always keep saying the best comedians are people of Jewish descent and African Americans because we know what it is like to be in pain. And the way you deal with that pain is often through humor. And with the music ranging from rap to jazz to blues to gospels to spirituals to hymns and inspirational music. I mean, we have something for everyone. And even if there's someone who was just curious, what is this about, you know, this gospel music or this jazz or this blues? All are welcome. I hope everyone will be there. It is so much fun and it's colorful. And our designers have worked very hard to honor the culture in the way the hats are represented, the scenic design, the sound design, and certainly Chasmin Williams Ali, our music director, is just knocking our socks off with the music, the way he actually has arranged the music for us. So we are having a wonderful time, and we cannot wait to share it with Milwaukee and Greater Milwaukee.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for coming on Lake Effect and sharing this with us.
I thank you, and I've had a great time.
Sherry Williams-Pennell is the stage director for Skylight Music Theater's production of Crowns, the musical. She spoke with Joy Powers. You'll find more information about the show at WUWM.com.